On today's episode, we welcome back our good friend Ryan Law to tackle the topic of money once again. Today, he shares ways we can communicate about money in better ways and even shares insights on how we can all prevent money disagreements. Ryan also shares some financial habits to help you get the best return on your investment. Ryan Law is the director of the Utah Valley University Money Success Center. He's an award-winning educator who teaches the financial counseling courses as part of the Personal Financial Planning Program at UVU. Ryan is a certified financial planner professional and an accredited financial counselor. He's the author of the book Student Loan Planning, Make Positive Changes, and co-editor of the book Financial Counseling. Ryan and his wife, Tracy, have been married for 24 years and they live in Utah County with their 5 children. You can discover more resources Ryan has created on his website, money-marriage.com. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm Dr. Dave, USU Extension professor and specialist here, and I'm alongside our licensed clinical psychologist, Dr. Liz Hale. We are dedicated to bring you the best research resources to help you have the marriage of your dreams. Okay, man, we are so excited to have back, by popular demand, Ryan Law from Utah Valley University. Ryan, we're so grateful that you're back here joining us for another episode.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be back.
Okay, yeah, so thanks for coming back on because we have a lot more questions for you to get to, because it's a big topic, right? Last time we talked about, tackling money stress and financial infidelity, we talked about, and some money personalities, and you shared some great tips for couples. Can you kick things off by recapping just a little bit? Give us a quick overview about the research about couples and arguing about money.
Yeah, basically, we know from research that money is one of the biggest causes of conflict and disagreements within a marriage, and that when we argue about money, we tend to use harsher language, we tend to yell a lot more, and these disagreements and this conflict can lead to divorce. And so, obviously, divorce is financially devastating for anybody that goes through that. And so, if we can help people with this money issue and we can cut back on that stress for people, then we're doing great work.
Yeah, thank you.
And then sadly, that money topic, even in divorce, just gets, more crucial, right? More harmful. Absolutely. Even though there's just only so much money to go around, so much time with kiddos. Sadly, it doesn't even get better when we end the marriage. That's what I think is so heartbreaking. Last time we talked about money personalities, Ryan, and I wanted to thank you again for Money Habitudes, that wonderful questionnaire, because it was probably one of the better money personality tests that I personally have taken. And I liked it so much, I asked my husband to take it. And while we have more similarities, there is a difference that is kind of glaring too. And it's like, oh, no wonder we struggle a little bit when I want to be a little spontaneous and I look at him and it's kind of being such a killjoy sometimes. And we've had some interesting conversations about why that is so different. So I love that. But I'd love to ask you again how we can appreciate these different money partner personalities and a better way to understand them.
Yeah. So just as a recap from last time, our money personality, I define it as it's all the things that affect how you earn, save, and spend your money. So it's your money beliefs, it's your money habits, your attitudes, your values, even the rules that you have set for yourself and your spouse. All of that goes into place into what your money personality is. So it can definitely be helpful to work with somebody who understands and can guide you through some of these exercises and assessments. But simply talking can be very helpful as well, and asking simple questions. So I'll go back to some examples from last time I was on, like, what were the messages you heard about money when you were growing up? What's your most joyful money memory? What's your most painful one? What's your greatest financial fear? All of these are just questions, and you can find lots of these types of questions on the internet. And I would encourage you to just have these conversations with your spouse so you can get to know their personality, but then also answer them for yourself also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. We talked last time, and now leading more into this time about the conflict, the communication, talking about money. Are there healthy ways that couples can actually, avoid or prevent money disagreement? Is that even possible to prevent money disagreements?
Yes. And so that the initial just talking with your spouse about money is so important and can help you to avoid a lot of things in the future. But let me give you another quick tip for avoiding these money disagreements. So we know that people tend to anchor onto their initial impression of a situation. So I would encourage couples to do two things. First, not assume bad intent on your spouse's part. And second, to wait until you have all of the facts. So I'll just give you an example. If I see a charge come through, you know, it dings my phone and it says Target $300, I could get upset and say, what is she spending all this money at Target for? This isn't in the budget or whatever. And so that initial impression is going to cause me to be confrontational when we meet and probably cause her to be defensive. So instead, I can see that charge. I can notice it, not assume bad intent on my spouse's part, and just wait until she gets home and then gather all the facts. So maybe she was just picking something up for her mom and her mom's going to pay her back. There's so many different situations there. So holding off making that judgment and just talking with your spouse when they get home. Again, not confrontational. You're simply just saying, hey, I saw this charge come through. Or she might come home and say, oh yeah, I spent this money at Target. Here's what's going on with that. So just make sure you're calm when you're talking about money. It's so easy to get worked up and we start blaming, but instead just talk with your spouse and really seek to understand what they're talking about. And that's why it can be helpful to get some financial coaching from a financial counselor or a therapist or someone who can help you guide you through these important discussions.
Yeah.
Understand first and then seek to be understood, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
In our first time together. So it seems like all couples will have disagreements and feel some stress and anxiety when it comes to talking about money, whether they have money or whether we don't have money. When disagreements do happen, do you have tips, Ryan, on how to handle the conflict as it comes up?
Yeah. So even the best among us are going to have money disagreements. But it doesn't have to turn into an argument. We're going to have some conflict, some disagreements there. So there's one of my favorite speakers, Andy Stanley. He's a pastor, and he talks a lot about how what we do when we face conflict. And he said that we have these four C's that we turn to. So it's convince, convict, coerce, and control. We try to convince, convict, coerce, and control the other person. And all of these are ways to try to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. And, you know, we all know that they simply don't work. When people are trying to coerce us or control us, these things simply don't work. And so what I would encourage, there's a couple of tips that I can give you here. So first of all, if the tension starts to rise, stop the conversation. Go for a walk, hold hands. This is really important. There's got to be that physical contact there. Even if you don't want to, you can still hold hands. It can be just, you know, fingers if you want to initially, and just go for a walk and do not talk about the money at first. So that's one key tip. And then I've got a couple of others as well. So when I'm working with couples and you notice when that heat and when that tension starts to rise in the room, I'll simply ask them sometimes on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about this conversation? If it's a 6 or above, we take a break, maybe go out and get a water, go for a quick walk around the building or something like that. So that's another thing that you can do is if you're working with couples and you notice that tension start to rise, just pause right there. And then one more technique I'll give you, it's called knees to knees. Is this something that you're familiar with, Dave or Liz?
I love it. No, I love the idea though. Tell us more.
So the idea is that you face each other and the first partner talks about their perspective on a money issue. And it doesn't have to be financial. In fact, I'll give you a non-financial example. So where to spend Christmas? We know that especially early in a marriage, this can be a big topic of conversation and conflict. So, you know, one spouse, their family has always spent the holidays at Lake Powell and the other one wants to visit their family in Vermont. Clearly, you know, two very different traditions with Christmas. So the knees to knees technique, you just sit right across from each other. You look them in the eyes and one spouse starts out. So they might say, you know, my family has always spent the holidays at Lake Powell. We rent a houseboat. We put a Christmas tree on there. We play in the water. We have this big family party. That was our big vacation for the year. And something I always look forward to doing as a family. So the other spouse can now clarify, ask any questions like, oh, when did your family start this tradition? And they can certainly validate them and say, that sounds like something that you would really look forward to every year. And that sounds like it would be a lot of fun. So now we switch places. So step two is that you're switching roles, and the spouse who wants to spend the holidays with their family in Vermont, they get to talk now, and they're going to clarify their position. And the other spouse again can clarify, they can ask questions, they can validate. And then step three, the final step, is that you list all possible decisions. So you can go to Lake Powell, you can go to Vermont, you can stay home and establish new traditions. You can go to Lake Powell for a few days and then Vermont. You can go to Vermont this year and Lake Powell the next. Just list everything that you can. And again, going back to Stephen Covey, think win-win here. So how can both of us win? And what would make both of us happy? So, and you have to be willing to give. Obviously, if you simply demand your way and pout when you don't get it, then this isn't going to work. But if you're really willing to listen to your spouse and understand what they want, then this technique works beautifully. Again, not just in financial things, but where to spend the holidays and any other conflict that may come up.
Knees to knees.
Knees to knees, yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. Because it can just be so triggering, right? Well, yeah. Just the... Like if I, man, here she is, she's spending again, and just all of a sudden, it just doesn't take much. And my heart rate's up and I'm attacking. And I'm like, why'd you have to buy that? I thought we were going to, you know, that, but just keep the, slow and the low, slow. And then I call it low tone. Keep the tone down and go into it slow and learn to respond. Don't react. And those conversations can go a lot better. I love that. I love that, that knees to knees.
Yeah. And Dave, going off what you're saying there, all four of those things, the convince, convict, coerce, control, they all lead to defensiveness. And so like we get worked up, like you were saying, our heart rate goes up, but they lead to defensiveness on the part of our spouse. So yeah, talking with them makes such a big difference.
Yeah. Because you're talking about the win-win. Nobody wins, really. As soon as it erupts and it becomes emotional, we could be good defensive and name-calling and everything. Yeah, it just does not go well. So I love hitting the brakes, because if I'm feeling a six or higher, that's okay, we need to take a time out here, because this is not going to end well. Right. When it comes to money, I often hear about returns on investments. Now, in your mind, what are there some financial habits that have the highest return? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been involved in the personal finance world for a long time now. And so I would say that there's five financial habits that I have seen consistently give the best return. So we'll just go through those pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Here. So number one, develop and live within a budget. Only 30% of Americans use a budget. But really, you can achieve any financial goal if you simply learn to use a budget. So that's tip number one. Tip number two, avoid and eliminate consumer debt. There is nothing more difficult than having all this debt out there, especially debt you can't pay and the interest is piling on. So do everything you can to eliminate that consumer debt as quickly as possible, especially credit card debt, but other consumer debt as well, your car loans, your credit cards, other things. So get rid of that consumer debt as quickly as possible. And that might mean working an extra job, cutting back on expenses, but yeah, getting rid of that debt as fast as possible is a big return. Number three, have emergency savings and insurance in place. These are like the moat around your financial house, and they help prevent, if there is, a divorce or a disability or an early death or, anything like that, these insurance and having that emergency savings in place, job loss, any of those things, you're protected if you've got the proper insurance in place and you've got that emergency savings in place. Number four is giving. So economist Arthur Brooks, he's done a lot of research about giving, and he said givers are healthier, happier, and richer. It gives us stronger communities and a more prosperous nation. So giving to charities that you both believe in is so important, because it helps you focus on other people, typically those who are less fortunate than you are, and then also in causes that you both believe in. So that's number four. And then number five is to establish financial roles up front. So who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to balance the budget? Who's going to set up the automatic investment? So both spouses should share responsibility. But you need to know what your roles are. So quickly, again, number one, budget. Number two, eliminate debt. Number three, emergency savings and insurance. Number four, giving. And number five, establish those financial roles.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in. Okay, now go ahead, Liz, because I've got some follow-up questions on some of those. I know you do as well. Please, go ahead.
Too. I'm just so curious about roles. I mean, do you see where it's advantageous one way or the other, or does it matter? Is the biggest point to make sure that you know where your role is?
The biggest point is to know what your role is. So I've seen it where, you know, that maybe one spouse has a larger income and they tend to kind of take on that, we'll call it a CFO role within the family, the chief financial officer, where they kind of handle the majority of the money decisions, but the other spouse has roles as well. And then I've also seen the opposite, where one person earns the majority of the money and they don't really want to have to deal with the budgeting side of it. And so but their spouse really likes that side of it. So as long as there's roles that are established, it doesn't matter who does them.
Okay. I like it. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. And then another, I think you were.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jane. Oh, go ahead. Let's turn. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just want to know, marriage therapy. Forgive me. That the biggest question is, do we pull our money together, one account, or do we keep two separate accounts? Do you have some thoughts on that, Ryan?
Yeah, I've actually looked up research in this area, and there's a lot of different opinions on this and a lot of things that the research shows. So I think that for the most part, I believe, you know, for our situation, we've got a joint account where the majority of the money goes into that. The paycheck is direct deposited there. All the bills are pulled from that account, and that is a joint account. My wife has a separate business account where she does some business stuff and she's listed as the primary. I'm on that account as well, but I don't spend any money from that account. And then I've got a business account as well that, again, I'm the primary. She's on that account because I want her to be able to access it at any time. And if something happens to me, she needs to be able to get to that account. And so having most of your money joined together, but then some separate seems to work well. But for some couples, they really like having two separate accounts. And, you know, this spouse pays the mortgage and the heat out of this account, and the other one pays for all the groceries out of this account. So as long as it's working well for you and you're communicating about it and everyone understands their roles, then however you decide to set it up, it should work well.
We love what works. Thank you.
Yes, we do. Do more of what works and do less of what doesn't, right?
Yeah. Okay, now I've got a couple questions I've been dying to ask. Okay, so I think on the number three, you're talking about how important it is to save. And I remember hearing that advice, you know, as newlyweds, and I would be like, you know, here's our envelope system. We don't really have anything to save. But we would try, Ryan, at least getting into the habit of savings, whether it was $5 or $10. It wasn't necessarily the amount. It was the habit early on of putting something aside. Is that what you recommend, especially for early on? People are listening to this, are like, yeah, easy for you to say, but I don't have any money to save. What's your advice for those who really are struggling to save anything?
Yeah, saving anything, even a dollar, is better than saving nothing. And so it's putting you into that habit. So that means you get that paycheck, or maybe you're working at a job where you get tips or something, transfer a dollar over to savings. That'll at least get you into that habit. And so everyone can save a dollar, right? Or $5 or $10. So start small. You don't need to look at this and say, I need 6 months of expenses and that's going to take me 10 years to build that up. Don't worry about that right now. You're just trying to build a starter emergency fund, a small amount that you could cover a minor emergency even that comes up. And so just start saving a little bit, and over time that will build up. Don't spend it. You know, put it in that account and let it just grow unless you have a true emergency. But otherwise, just let that continue to grow and maybe put it in a higher yield checking account so that you can start to build up some money there. But yeah, that's a key financial factor is paying yourself first and getting that taken care of.
Love it. Okay, now follow up question with, I think number two, you talked about, you know, avoiding debts and things. And yes, so important. And now I know some listeners right now are like, okay, that one's way too far gone. We've got $3,000 on credit card, and this one $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000, right? And then I see, you know, advertisements, or I see commercials and say, hey, consolidate your debt, that kind of stuff. What's your perspective on, there's listeners now who say, I blew it on number two, I'm trying to save, but man, the interest is killing us. Are there programs or solutions to, you know, I don't want to do bankruptcy? What are their options if they do have debt and they want it really bad to get rid of that?
Yeah, I think talking with a debt counselor and a financial counselor can be very helpful because they can go through your situation, because there's a lot of possible solutions here. One might be to work an extra job for a little while. Maybe it's just a short term thing where you're working extra and all of that extra money is going towards that. Looking at your expenses, do you have you know, five different streaming services in your, that you're not actually using, and you can cut back on three of those and put that extra $30 towards the debt. So there's a great program. It's PowerPay, which was actually developed at Utah State University years ago, powerpay.org. And so that, I assume that'll be in the show notes and the resources. Such a great resource. It's free. You go in there, you enter all of your debt, you put the minimum payment, you put the interest rate, and it's going to say, it's going to take you this long to pay off your debt. But once that first debt is paid off, you roll that payment into the second debt, and it just accelerates that payment quicker. And you can run it on smallest debt first, or you can do it on highest interest, or there's all these different scenarios that you can look at, and it'll show you how much interest you'll save. It'll show you how quickly you'll have that paid off. So it'll give you a date. So utilize tools like that where it'll give you suggestions. And then you can even say, okay, I've got an extra $100 a month that I can put towards my debt. And you can put that in as an extra payment, and it will figure out where to apply that. And it's a great program. And again, it's free. And so it's a great way to get a visual and dates on when you're actually going to get these things paid off.
Sounds phenomenal. I'm so glad to know about that. Yeah. PowerPay.org. Okay.
PowerPay. Yes.
PowerPay.org. Pardon me. I said it wrong, but PowerPay.org. Yeah. Beautiful. What else, Dave? You were chomping at the bit, and you gave me such.
I'm ready to go. Yeah. Those were two big ones that kind of came to mind.
And we just want to know where now, Ryan, listeners, is the best place to find you. Where can they find out more about you and your resources?
Yeah, the very best place to learn about me is my new website, which is money-marriage.com. Again, that's money-marriage.com. I'm just putting the finishing touches on a training course. There will be some free training on there. There's going to be some articles, opportunities for financial counseling for couples. And so right now the page has just got a little bit of information on there, and it's got an email list. You can sign up for that email list, and we'll get you all of that information as it becomes available. Again, that's money-marriage.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much, Ryan. And we'll put that link again, money-marriage.com, on our show notes. So thank you. Thank you for that. Before we let you go, what's your takeaway of the day from our discussion and all the things we've talked about money wise? What do you hope people will remember from this?
Yeah, I'll go back to the same message that I shared the last time, and that's listen with the intent to understand. So if we go through all the, you know, financial principles that we talked about and the knees to knees and all these different techniques, the idea is that you've got to listen with the intent to understand your spouse. So that'll be my takeaway of the day.
I love it. It's so important. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day?
It's so hard to choose one, to be quite honest with you. You know, I think under those five habits that you listed, Ryan, I love number four about giving. Sometimes it can feel a little bit counterintuitive when a couple's trying to save, right, and really be wise. But you said it's those who give and find a way to give in a way that they both agree to are healthier, happier, and even richer.
That's right.
So that reminds me of tithes for some religion or choosing an organization you both feel passionate about.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you for that. And Dave, what about you? What's your greatest takeaway in our time together with Ryan Law?
No, I think going back to maybe some of those questions, Ryan, I think that we have daughters, we're getting older and, you know, dating and all that kind of stuff, to have these money conversations first for us to be teaching our kids about these principles, just establish that, get into the habit of talking to your children about those things. And then early on, newlyweds, you know, start saving, even if it's just a little bit. It's the habit, not necessarily the amount of that. And then just like in a relationship, if you're struggling and you want to talk to somebody, there are actually financial counselors, right, Ryan, that can sit down. They're experts in this. It's a no judgment zone. Even if you made some crazy financial mistakes and have all this credit card debt, Don't feel that shame. Get the help that you need to get out from those burdens and reach out, because there's great resources, information, free programs to help them get back on track.
Awesome. Love that.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Ryan. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for coming back on and talking with us. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I enjoyed being here.
All right, listeners, that's it. That wraps up another episode for us here at the Stronger Marriage Connection. We hope you have a great one.
And remember, it's the small and simple things that create a stronger marriage connection. See you next time.
See you.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.